Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We've got the rant line coming up in 7 or 8 minutes. 860-751-4698. I love that conversation with Joe Markley. Those Markley conversations are rich with understanding and clarity. And it's an amazing thing. This is why I enjoy politics so much. I know the results don't go our way a lot of the times, but boy, it's fascinating. What is it? What is it that can keep a hold on the state as the Democrats are so devoted to driving it into the ground, and it gets deeper and deeper into the ground every election and every year, regardless of an election. And they still keep doing the same thing. Why? We win. We win, the Democrats say. Why should we stop destroying the state when the people seem to love it so much? I guess it's because I'm psychologically oriented. I feel like human psychology really is what the nature of existence is about, what the quality of life is like, and what drives all of our public lives, what drives our politics, is our psychology, our willingness to be conned by cheap gags, because that's all politicians have to offer. They offer the cheapest cons anywhere. And there used to be all kinds of cheap cons in our culture, not so much anymore, but they're out there, but none as successful as politics. These guys only do harm. Politics and government only does harm. Why do we continue to fall for their lines about how they're going to make everything better if only we pay a little more? At some point, we have to turn that argument around and say, well, wait a sec, you've got enough. As a matter of fact, you've got too much. And as a matter of fact, you have all of these systems built in such a way to make sure you squander as much money as possible instead of showing respect for our money. Why do we give money to people who show no respect for it? Why do we buy their cheap cons when they show no respect for the money they've already got? And when they're always out there campaigning for more. You don't hear many campaigns for more efficiency, especially from the big government crowd. They claim to love the money and want it so badly, but they will pay no scrutiny to the money that's being squandered. There is no magnifying glass, Sherlock Holmes-type Democrat walking around trying to find out where they're wasting it, because no, for them, wasting money is good. That's how they pay for votes, with wasted money. They love wasted money. They want more of it all the time. It's amazing. All right, coming up, the rant line for today. We take phone calls as well, 860-522-9842. We mix them all up. Are you ready? We're going to do it in just a couple minutes. Whoa, it's WTIC. It's rants line time. Don't forget, we mix in phone calls from real live human beings along with our rant line call. So let's get started.
Hi, John. It's Kathy. I think Trump is going to win big time.
This is Kathy Hopperstead running for state rep from Manchester.
However, the problem is going to be absentee ballots going to make sure the actual vote doesn't count. And the last electoral landslide was Reagan in 1980. So tell Dan he's wrong. It wasn't a landslide. All right. Bye.
Thank you, Kathy.
So, Todd, the reason for my call is that at this point in time, there is nothing I can say to convince someone who's going to vote for Joe Biden to vote for Donald Trump. So I'm not even going to try. What I am going to do is I'm going to do a real big favor for them. There is a lot of very bad stuff coming out in the next week, and that is not right-wing conspiracy. That is fact.
You hear that prediction from Joe? A lot of bad stuff for Biden coming down the pike in the next couple of weeks. That's not right-wing conspiracy. That's fact. Any idea what he's talking about?
And I'm going to ask them to hold off on casting their vote for Joe Biden. It may mean that they don't vote for Donald Trump, which is totally understandable, but I'm giving them the opportunity to be able to stand there in the future and say, you know, I'm glad I didn't vote for Joe Biden. I just figured something was wrong. Thanks.
Now, that's a good reminder. You know, there is not just the brake pedal and the gas pedal. There is also no pedal. And that's what Joe is suggesting. This is not a binary choice, vote for Trump or Biden. This is just like the gas pedal and the brake pedal. There is the option in between of not voting on the presidential line and not being part of the carnage that will happen to America, that is happening to America, continuing because Democrats who spend relentlessly and expand government recklessly will be back in. They'll be back in that position to make things even worse if Joe Biden wins. 860-522-9842. Chuck Wallingford, hello.
Hello, Todd. We've been asking this question, why do the Democrats keep spending, keep spending, keep spending? And if you look at it from a social science behavior control kind of perspective, This is basic behavior control. We ask you to do this, and in return, you get that. And those social science studies have shown us that as soon as you remove the token or the whatever incentive that's given, the behavior stops. They don't get the vote anymore. And in fact,
so in other words, you can't, if you are operating a vote buying scheme, which is the Democrats' model, the only way it succeeds is if you keep spending every year. You have to keep handing them the money.
Correct. And in fact, if you remove the incentive, it makes it even less likely that you'll get the vote next time.
Because you create an angry voter at that point.
This is all in social science. If you are involved in psychology at all, you can look up some of these studies. And in interestingly enough, when they do these studies with animals, such as rats who get a little bit of food for pushing a lever.
Rats. I'm glad you brought up rats. That's very appropriate. Go ahead.
If you see, they say that these animals are kept slightly underfed so that they'll respond better to the incentive. And doesn't that feel how the cities are always struggling, and you get this little token incentive so that you'll respond to it and give them your
vote. Chuck, you're a very profound character. Call back again, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate hearing from you. 860-522-9842. How about that?
Yeah, hi, Todd. I'm calling about how sickening and vile the Republican Party is trying to suppress the Democratic vote with long lines, limited drop boxes, limited places where Democratic regions can actually go vote. They've been trying to suppress the vote for years, and you can just see it blatantly. It's a sickening lie, cheat, steal, but win party. It's sickening.
Oh, Lordy. I don't know how you can be that guy. Like, I understand. All right, you've fallen for the Democrats' scam. But to be so bought in, it's amazing. 860-522-9842. Kathy, South Windsor. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Todd. Hey, I just wanted to make everyone aware that if they've mailed in their ballot already and they voted and they've changed their mind, they changed their decision, all they have to do is call their town clerk and a form will be sent out to them and they can change their vote.
Yeah.
The process. So I don't think, I know a lot of people aren't aware of that, but change your mind, change your vote.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Good to get the information. Let's keep us informed. Let's keep us knowing what's going on. I'm all for that.
Yes. I'm calling. The voter turnout for the 2016 election was 60.1%.
Okay.
Or somewhere around there. So it was over 60%.
But why does that matter?
For example, in Florida, there are 10 names on the ballot, or 8 names on the ballot for president. Those names, those extra names, besides Biden and Trump, will take away votes from either party, depending on which way they vote.
Okay,
they
why
lean.
Does that matter?
So the poll will be a little bit, your poll will be a little bit inaccurate.
Or it might be entirely accurate. It might account for those things.
Like you said, he may get the electoral vote, but there's probably going to be some discrepancy, or some people won't be able to vote, or the ballots will get lost, or whatever. Or they have file on time. So those are the big ifs in this election.
Well, the big ifs is, you're right. There's a lot of big ifs, but mostly who gets most votes. I mean, the Democrats are always rigging elections. They're always pushing their election rigging schemes. That's not unique to this election. It's just they get better at it each election cycle as they get more vehement and zealous and they pass more laws. And that's why that's their big scam with COVID. That's why one of the big reasons they've celebrated COVID so much and tried to make it dragged out as long as possible, because it's a thrilling opportunity for them to get everybody voting early. Makes it much easier to cheat. Really, much easier.
Todd, what is going on with you today? You sound like a Debbie Downer.
Oh, stop
it. Against Trump. You sound like one of those Democrat moderators just beating up on Trump.
Oh, don't be silly. Don't be silly. Wait, I cut off that last part, and that last part is the best part.
Democrat moderators just beating up on Trump. I don't like it.
I don't like it. I like that cry for mercy. Give me mercy, please. Let's talk to Peter in Farmington. Hey, Peter.
Hi. I just wanted to reply to the person on the rant line about the Democratic, or about bashing on Republicans for suppressing votes and what have you. Here's a fast take. Maybe if you need to be reminded to vote repeatedly, you shouldn't go vote.
Well, I'm with you on that. I mean, the way elections should work is people who choose to vote should go to vote. They should have registered based on whatever the rules are. They should go to wherever the polling place is. They should do what's ever required at that polling place. And if you're not up for that, then forget about it.
Exactly. That's all I have.
Well, that's a lot, Peter. You came weighted down with great information and great opinions. Thank you, Peter. 860-522-9842. The Democrats have some people, the earliest of the early voting, they're voting 6 weeks before the election. Who needs to vote 6 weeks before the election? And isn't it a travesty to have people voting on different cycles, so they don't even know what the narrative is on election day? Some people can be totally disconnected. Who knows what's going to happen over the next 13 days? Who knows what evil lurks in the minds of man?
Hi, Todd. This is Maria in West Hartford.
Hello, Maria.
I believe the state of Connecticut has deemed that all the electoral votes in this state would go to whichever candidate has the majority a number of votes. So
yes,
I just
right.
wanted to point that out. I believe it's legislatively on the books. I don't know how constitutional that is, if in fact it is a formal law. Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
bye.
No, that's formal stuff. That's controlled by the U.S. Constitution, how the Electoral College gets divvied up. There are two states, I believe, that do it by congressional district. So you don't have to win the whole state. You can win a congressional district and lose the others. But I believe that's only two states. I think everybody else is based on the popular vote statewide.
Hi, it's about 4:30. I'm just responding, actually, to the radio caller that you were speaking with about the donations for the candidates running against, say, Lindsey Graham, and he's actually from South Carolina, not North Carolina. But all those candidates are getting donations from Oprah Winfrey, millions of dollars, Barbara Streisand, Rosie O'Donnell, 20, 30, 40 million that they're sending them. So they're not raising that. He's losing because Democrats are trying so hard to get rid of him that all these movie stars are contributing to his opponent. And I'm sure the other candidates must be any important one, like Lindsey Graham, it would definitely be them that are contributing to that they have all this money. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I did look this up on Lindsey Graham's race in South Carolina against Jamie Harrison. And Jamie Harrison is raising money at a $37 per person clip. So I'm not sure if what you're saying is right on there. I mean, there may be some big movie stars giving money, but there's so much money coming in, $60 million going into Jamie Harrison, that movie stars don't have that kind of money. I know they're rich. Edgar, hello there.
Yeah, hello, Hector from West Connecticut. How are you?
Thank you for the call, Edgar.
I appreciate it. You're taking my call. I listen to you guys every evening, and I also listen to Rush Limbo at noon. You know, and you guys make a big difference on these programs, you know.
Well, thank you for that.
My only concern is I just, like the gentleman before says, you know, let's go out there and vote. Let's see who can do better for our nation. Don't be enemies. We don't want to be enemies. I'm a Yankee. Rex, I'm a Yankee fan. My neighbors are all Rexers, and we get along pretty good. We don't have difference on parties or.
I'm sorry. Who do you get along with?
I'm a Yankees fan. You know.
Oh, yeah, Yankees fan.
Most of my neighbors are Red Sox.
I see. Yeah, yes.
We don't fight for because he's a Red Sox or I'm a Yankee fan. We just look for, let's see what happens next following year. So who's going to be the winner? You know, we just keep that harmony, that friendship. You know, that's what I.
No, I hear you. And it's good that you're making a comparison to sports because we have turned politics into something that we have this devotion to that is similar to rooting for a team. Like, you can't say anything bad about my team. I think this is why people get so emotional when I look at the evidence and analyze the evidence and come to the conclusion that it doesn't look like Donald Trump is going to win. People get mad as if that's an attack on Trump, as if I'm putting Trump down, as if I don't want Trump to win. And I think that's the kind of rooting for the team tribalism that you're referring to, Edgar. So it's a good analogy. But still, it's not to run the country, right? The Yankees winning doesn't destroy America, even though it may feel that way to people. Democrats winning does destroy America. 860-522-9842. The rant line number, 860-751-4698. We'll take more of both kinds of calls coming up.
It takes a revolution. To make a solution.
Solution. Yeah, it's WTIC. Good afternoon. No, good evening. It's time to say evening. We're still doing rant lines, taking phone calls. In a little while, we'll talk about union corruption, one of my favorite topics, and problems with the police accountability bill with Frank Ricci from the Yankee Institute. But right now, more rant line calls.
Hey, Todd. Kathy again. I'm out standing on the corner with my sign. I just heard your latest caller state that people won't vote for Biden because of Kamala Harris being a black woman and not wanting her to be vice president. That has nothing to do with it. We don't want her as a vice president because she's a horrible candidate. Same thing with Hillary, horrible candidate. Nikki Haley is going to be our first woman president, and she is a person of color. She is Indian American, and they just don't get it. It's not about race. It's not about gender. It's about qualification. Period. Thank you.
Yeah, so yesterday we were taking predictions on the presidential election, and that included from our guests, one of whom, Alfonso McGriff, predicted that Trump will win the election, and he thinks that Trump will win the election because Kamala Harris, a black woman, is the vice presidential candidate, and he sees anti-female and anti-black bias, especially with those two things combined, I think, as being an insurmountable impediment to being elected, to winning an election, a national election. And that's what Kathy Hopperstad was responding to there. It's an interesting hypothesis. Anybody think that's a big problem, that Americans can't vote for a woman to be president, and especially a black woman?
I predict Donald Trump all the way. He going to beat this clown by a landslide. He going to whip him like a rented mule. And hopefully that's where he winds up, in the barnyard.
That's pretty funny.
Yes, Todd. I'm Bob from Newington. I'm a registered Democrat.
Yeah, hello, Bob.
And I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to vote for President Trump this year. I did vote for Hillary. And fortunate for myself, Trump was elected president. And I'm ashamed and embarrassed for what our party has done to this country, to divide it over the last 4 years, starting with the impeachment, the Supreme Court nominee that they dragged through the mud, and especially with the division that my party
Well, that's awesome that you're copping a plea on that. Thank you for that rant line call. 860-522-9842. Well, it's WTIC. Let's just find out what Juan has to say here. East Hartford. Hey, Juan.
Todd, today I noticed something that it has me puzzled. I was driving down the highway around 4 o'clock, 4:30, 84 going through downtown, and it was like driving on a Sunday at 5 a.m., no traffic. That made me think about, you know, Trump has given us such a strong economy that even with Connecticut as shut down as it is, as many restrictions as we have, as many people that are not working downtown, we are still economically doing extremely well. Why is that? Because of the economy. The economy dummy. The economy dummy. That's how we're going to win this election. Plus, you know, you look at, they just discovered that Trump had a Chinese checking account to pay for his taxes for a hotel deal they was thinking about doing about 10 years. That's all they found? We actually have money transactions going from Chinese oligarchs, from guys in Ukraine, from the wife of the ex-mayor of Moscow going to Biden, and that's not a problem?
All right, Juan, good to hear from you. Thank you for making the points. 860-522-9842. We're going to discuss union corruption right now. I love talking about union corruption because, to me, the whole premise of unions is one that is designed in such a way as to rig our elections. I find the whole notion corrupt. We'll also talk about the police accountability bill. Frank Ricci joins us, senior strategist at the Yankee Institute. Also, he's a former union, fire union official from New Haven. Frank, welcome back to WTIC. Thanks for being here.
Good evening. Thanks for what you do, Todd, exposing union corruption, and we got to bring some common sense back to Hartford.
Well, those are both big mountains to climb. Which one you want to try first?
We could start off with bringing some common sense back to Hartford. We have a police bill that is now a police act. They passed it into law. They rushed it through, you know, over 70 pages. And the absurdity in the law, they didn't even take the time to do the proper research. And that's the problem. It's not just about campaigns, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. It doesn't matter. It's not just the campaign speech. You have to be able to govern. And hidden in this bill is a whole bunch of unfunded mandates. And there's provisions in this law that would actually destroy police officers' lives. And I'd like to highlight the drug testing provision of that bill, if I could.
Tell us about that provision, please.
Okay, well, for your listeners, most individuals out there have seen the Seinfeld episode with where Elaine tests positive for opioids for eating a poppy seed bagel. But that's just TV drama. That's not real life, because any drug testing standard in America, and there's basically two standards, Health and Human Services and the DOT standards, they have threshold limit values. They have a cutoff score, a background that's allowed when you take a drug test. And the reason for that background is so that you don't take an everyday substance and test positive for.
When you say background, you mean there's a certain allowance for noise that could come up in the testing?
Absolutely. Every single testing by every standard throughout America has, you know, we want to rely on science, has a certain amount of background, a permissible limit, a cutoff level that, okay, you're going to show a little bit of this in your system. It doesn't mean you fail the test. And that's why I bring up that Elaine thing. That's just TV drama. You never would have tested positive for
ordinary. No, you're saying nobody would do something so dumb as to put in a system that didn't have a minimum allowance for a substance to be in the average person's bloodstream.
You're 100% right. And right now, the way that this law is written, a police officer who takes ibuprofen, takes Sudafed, anything, eats a poppy seed bagel, the way the law is written, it says no presence. It doesn't allow any background. So we're going to have police officers testing positive for drugs who aren't on drugs.
Well, why would they do that? I mean, certainly somebody must have raised that issue and made them aware of their mistake.
We've been trying to make them aware of their mistakes, and the police lobby, the Yankee Institute, we've been trying to expose different issues with this bill. I mean, this is just the common sense thing. When I did some research for the op-ed in Connecticut News Junkie, I couldn't find a state or anywhere, for that matter, that has a drug test with no background. This is something that just needs to be fixed. It's not a Republican issue, a Democrat issue.
Yeah, but in normal legislating, when you say to the Democrats who dominate the state and thus this kind of legislation, you guys made a mistake here. Look, what do they say in response? Don't they say, don't worry about it. We'll take care of that after it's law. We'll just amend it.
Well, that's one of the problems that we see in politics. They want you to read the bill after the law is already passed, and now we're behind the eight ball. But laws have consequences, and this could have consequences on a police officer's lives. We need to back our police officers, and it also has a financial impact on our municipalities, you know.
All right, Frank, I'm sorry. Hold on one sec. We've got to get a traffic and weather break in, and then we'll continue the conversation with Frank Ricci from the Yankee Institute. Fascinating conversation that it is. All righty. We're talking with Frank Ricci. He's a unique person to consult with because of his background as a leader in the firefighters union in New Haven. He is a conservative writer, I guess you'd call him, or libertarian. How do you describe your political philosophy, Frank?
just advocating for sound public policy that makes sense for everybody in Connecticut and America.
Okay, so you're an extremist. I see. All right, Frank works for the Yankee Institute. So we're talking about the police accountability bill. Anything else you wanted to tell us about it?
There's another unfunded mandate that when the fiscal note came out in Hartford, they said it costs nothing. But in that act, they actually now are requiring police departments to get accredited. When we had a accreditation agency, a state agency, POST-C, that would accredit our police officers already, they essentially gave a $2 million no-bid contract to a Georgia company to require our police officers to be accredited. Ironically, that accreditation service already accredited our training academy and the standards that our police officers go to. So if they wanted to elevate the standards for police officers, which is a great goal, all they would have had to do was adopt the standards to POST and not pass on another unfunded mandate that's going to cost millions of dollars, $2 million in the first year. Each municipality is going to have to pay to get their officers accredited when they're already trained to an accredited standard. And then they got to re-up it every year. And Hartford, they just totally missed it. And again, it'll be the taxpayers that are paying for it.
But Frank, you said this is a worthy goal. Why is a centralized state controlling standard a good idea across the board for police officers, small town police officers, maybe a quiet coastal community, say, or a rural community in Litchfield County? How is that the same thing as what the accreditation you need for officers in Hartford or New Haven?
Well, Connecticut's current system, the way it's run right now, Todd, is that the police officers from those smaller communities are going to a state police academy. There's very few departments. New Haven has their own academy. But for the most part, all the police officers are going to the same academy. So it would make sense, because that certification is transferable for their arrest powers and their authority, that they're trained to the same and certified to the same standard. I think that makes sound public policy. The problem is they could have just raised the standard within the agency that we have in the state. There was no reason and no need for a rebuke of the POST-C process. It was just like political fodder that somebody threw in there to say, hey, we want to take this to the next level. And it just cost the taxpayers money. We could have got the same thing without spending any money.
All right. Talk to us about union corruption. We've got a couple minutes left to get into that.
It's getting out of control. Mark Fitch just did an unbelievable article about MDA, the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Good charity. A lot of people have that horrible disease. It's tragic. But firefighters are out there collecting with a boot in Connecticut and everywhere else, you know, saying, help out. This money goes to the kids. And now we uncovered that there's over a million dollar in repeated years that's getting kicked back to the International Association of Firefighters, and it was buried in their DOL, Department of Labor, filings. So we're trying to get to the bottom of this answer. I mean, union corruption affects everybody because it affects the taxpayers in the end.
Why is there union corruption?
Todd, I think that's a great question, and I think that it goes back to the same problem we see in government. There's a propensity for it to become a larger bureaucracy. And as the bureaucracy grows, it all comes up that it's not about the taxpayers or about the union member. It's about protecting the bureaucracy and protecting the elected few. And unfortunately, people abuse their power. So we need transparency and we need checks and balances.
Isn't the answer to bureaucratic corruption, because the bureaucracy grows too big, isn't the answer to not have the bureaucracies?
Absolutely. I mean, I encourage unions to step away from their national associations. If they can't extinguish the corruption from the inside, which seems to be the point, it seems to be getting to that point now, then maybe the answer, like a building fire, is to have everybody back out and let it collapse.
All right, Frank, it's always good to talk with you. You have a unique voice with a unique position and unique qualifications. It's great to It's great to have you as an active person in the organization that you're with, Yankee Institute. Frank Ricci, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Todd. Keep up the great work.
All righty. We'll talk to you again soon. You know, the pattern is the same over and over again, isn't it? The pattern is where government tries to take control of things it doesn't need to, which is everywhere and everything as far as we can see. It makes a mess of it because bureaucracies are bad, large organizations are bad, centralized power is bad.
Before the plague came in, I had it made. I wasn't coming to Erie. I mean, I have to be honest. There's no way I was coming. I didn't have to.
The president.
I had to play that cut again because it's the most honest thing I've ever heard a politician say. And this rant line call.
Hi, my rant is this. I'm black. I'm a woman. I'm voting for Trump. And I'm not voting for Harris whatsoever. Never have, never will, and will never vote for Harris. I don't consider her representing anyone who is black. Thank you so much for giving me a chance to express my rant. Bye.
Well, that's what the rant line is for. It's there 24/7. You leave your rant anytime you want. We play it during the 5 o'clock hour, weekday afternoons here on WTIC. The rant line number 860-751-4698. Follow me on Twitter if you're a tweeting person, @ToddTalk. And my Facebook page, where we post segments from the show, by the way. Go to ToddTalk.com, and send me an email if you wish, Todd@ToddTalk.com. Stay in touch.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.